You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for He
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry. All of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. Go out to our website www.whenchristianspeak.com and click on our donation page.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth and relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to Change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends. Father, in the name of Jesus, we worship you, we praise you, we thank you that this is the day that you've made, and we made a decision to rejoice and be glad in it. Regardless of what the situations are, you have given us the ability to have our minds renewed so that we can see things from a different perspective that we've never seen before. And we just thank in advance that we have prepared ourselves for such a time as this so that we can encourage, we can pray, we can lift people up in other countries. And we can just thank you in advance that your angels are encountering about us and others. In Jesus' name, we pray. We thank you that we just bind any distractions that will try to hinder us. We bind the spirit of slumber and sleep doing this service because we know how the enemy works, but we know your grace is much more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So welcome tonight. We started a new series last Sunday, and it's called Ignite. And we got away from the warrior within only to go to a new place called Ignite, where we're going to look at areas of our emotions that we need to conquer so that we can walk in victory. because uncertainty breeds. So you guys are listening for the very first time, didn't see last Sunday, make sure you write this down. Uncertainty, doubt, fear, and what will happen next equals anger. So what I'm talking about is how anger, due to uncertain times, anger is produced. And what I've seen over time is that people are staying angry because of uncertainty. You went to bed last night and gas was $4 and I think it was 19 cents. You went to the gas pump today as you were going to work or coming back from work and gas is $4.29. So some people can take that and be extremely angry or angrier because that it was uncertain. In the morning, it was one price. In the afternoon or in the evening, it became another price. But what happens is as you process your emotions, you don't have to stay in that angry place. But I will tell you this, whatever you are angry about, you need to speak to so that it takes you to a different place, a place of peace, a place of rest, but most of all, a place of resolve so that you can have your emotions process that information in a different way. Okay. So you don't just stay there. Say something because God gave us words to speak so we can create what we want, not what we have.
Oh, I like that.
That was good.
I can't say it again because it was him. But Shell or somebody wrote it down. So y'all make sure y'all send it to me. Okay. All right. So where I got this revelation from about uncertainty creates anger is when Jesus walked in the temple. Certainty was what he operated in. When he walked into the temple, he knew the reason why he was going in the temple was because it was a place of God. He called it a house of prayer. And so when he walked in and he saw that people were selling things, that created uncertainty, which breeded anger. Now, Jesus knows everything. And so he knows the end from the beginning. But that's just an example to us. And that's the revelation that I got is most of the time when we get angry, it's because we saw something as certainty that became uncertain and we did not process our emotions. So anger manifested. So when uncertainty happens, when unexpected plan or ideas were changed, you know, you and your spouse or you and a friend said you were going to the movies at 12 and you were the one that came up with the idea. And then all of a sudden you changed it to 1 instead of 12. Well, that person that you told was, okay, let's be there. Let's go at 12. They made all the plans for 12. And then when they got there, you said, nah, let's go ahead and do the 1 o'clock show. Well, you took certainty and created uncertainty. And so that person became angry. So part of being uncertain is you have plans or ideas that are changed. Number 2 is unresolved feelings. If you have not processed your past, it's challenging to live in the future. You might have gone through grief or you might have gone through loss. You might have lost employment, something of that nature. So you went from certainty to uncertainty. Once the company mentioned that they were going to have to do layoffs, most people's natural idea is to say, well, I'll be the one. Where that's what I'm talking about. You have to speak to the situation. If that's not what you want, you say something different. I'm a valuable employee. They need me. And so therefore, I know that I have employment. Number 3, mental health. These are 3 things that uncertainty will manifest themselves in it. It's your mental health, like stress. You know, sometimes at jobs, because of people who have been laid off, you don't know what's expected based off that day. So, you know, you used to do this, but now you're doing something totally different or having those things added to it. So right now the world is going through a lot of depression where they have thought about thoughts for so long that have been negative that it produced its own settings, which is depression. Now, I know some people are dealing with depression based off chemical imbalance, but others' thoughts have led them or actions have led them to depression because they're taking a thought. That's a thought, a negative thought. That thought goes around. And it's looking for something similar to itself. Nothing ever goes right for me. He grabbed another thought. Well, if nothing ever goes right for you, let's find examples of that. So every time your mind goes around, it grabs a thought similar to itself that will produce what you say that you are thinking, okay? And fear. Fear is present because of what's going on. So these are three areas that produce uncertainty, okay? So I'm going to say this, and you decide what you want to do with it. I'm hoping you'll grab it so that you'll see where this uncertainty is producing in your life, the anger that is constant. If uncertainty is one of the driving forces of anger, and we are living in one of the most uncertain times we have ever encountered, who will be in control, us or our anger? Do I need to read that again?
Mm-hmm.
If uncertainty is one of the driving forces of anger, and we are living in one of the most uncertain times we have ever encountered, who will be in control, us or our anger? It's a real thought, guys. It's a real belief system. It's real. So you got to ask yourself, when you get angry, will my anger be in control or will I be in control of my anger? Because the anger is a natural progression. It's a place to go. Because if that's what you've used for your defense system, your mind will automatically always go to anger. Okay? So you got that? So I want you to contact Michelle and just put it in the comment section. Be honest though, guys. Don't be one of them funny Christians where you're lying about stuff. Be honest about it. Will you be in control or will your anger be in control? So it's a real question. Okay? All right, but somebody already answered?
Ed has already said us.
Us, okay. All right. Okay, Ed, thank you, sir. And just let us know. Let us know. No judgment, no condemnation. Just truth. That's all we're asking for. All right, so let me talk a little bit about anger. So I'm doing a little mix of both about what I covered on Sunday, but there is new material here, okay? Anger destroys communication. How many of you guys can talk when you get angry? Remember, the blood leaves your head and it goes to your extremities so that you can fight or run. So anger is not the best time to communicate. That's why it's okay. I always tell people, say, if you know you get into that place where you know you're going to say some ugly stuff, you say, I tell you what, man, people get mad about this, whoever you might have this discussion with. Let's step away for 10 or 15 minutes, and then that's what they have heard people say. But while we are stepping away for 10 or 15 minutes, let's pray in the spirit before we come back. And why would I say pray in the spirit? Because remember where the blood went, right? It left your brain. So you want to pray in a perfect language, which is in the spirit, that will allow your blood to come back to your brain so that you will be able to articulate what it is that the Holy Spirit told you why you was in that form of anger, okay? But this is the key component. Make sure you come back. You time it. If you say 15 minutes, you make sure you come back in 15 minutes. Even if the person don't want to, you go towards them. And you can say, well, okay, 15 minutes is up, praying in the spirit, so I'm expecting great things to manifest. Was that a question, Tim?
Well, I have some answers.
Okay,
who's in control?
Okay.
Nicole says, help, Lord.
Help, Lord. Okay, Nicole, appreciate you.
Wayne says, I have not always been in control of my anger.
Okay.
Corey says, in my past, my anger has been in control. I will be practicing being in control.
Okay.
Claudia says, I will try and be in control.
Try to be in control. Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you. So let me just share this with you. Some of the times when I start a ministry about something, people will say, well, that's not me because I don't have that issue. That's not me. I don't have that problem. But guys, do you recognize that disappointment is also a form of anger? Now, in life, I know we all been disappointed. God has been disappointed in us, but yet and still, Jesus said, I came and I died for them. So you saying you don't feel a certain way is also a form of disappointment, and it's a form of bragging. So just want to let you know, You ever been sitting beside somebody in the older times when everybody hid the Bible and they would say turn to a certain scripture and you couldn't find it, but the other person would make sure they got it. And then it kind of like, you know, accidentally hit you so that you would see that they had it. And not only did they have it, but they had it marked. What did that do? Just a thought. Okay. Let me keep going about what anger does. It tears apart relationships. I have very rarely seen where a person walks away from relationships without being angry. It's not. They discount everything that was there and all they see is what was wrong. But if you've been abused, if you've been hollered at, if you've been screamed at, if you've been touched inappropriate, you have the right to be angry and make a decision based off how you've been treated. It destroys joy and health. How does it destroy health? Because there's no such thing as an unexpressed emotion. Anger goes somewhere and it does something. It starts to affect your health. This goes along with what I heard. And what I'm saying is, I know pastors experience the same thing. When we are ministering the word and we say something, we have like a supernatural hearing. And I can hear people say, well, that's not me. They don't say it to themselves. They say it to somebody else to allow them to be raised up while the other person is put down. So that's why I put that in here. Say, just we justify instead of change. So we have to make a decision. Do we want anger to control our lives? Or do we want to change instead of justify where we are and what we've gone through? So adults and children are staying angry 24/7. That's what I'm after. I'm after this process of allowing people to understand what anger is, what it does. And so we can choose not to be angry 24/7. I mean, what is it like to go to bed mad, wake up mad, live the day mad, then come back and go to bed mad, wake up mad, eat mad? Now, the scriptures clearly says, I think it's in Proverbs, is don't eat food from an angry person who cooks. So if you are the angry person, what do you think that's doing to you? Okay, just questions. That's all I'm doing, Shelly. I'm just asking questions.
There's a few questions.
Okay, y'all ready for this? I'm going to take a quick second break. And I need you to put your big boy underwear on and big girl underwear on. Because I'm going to ask you something. I'm right in your face. Say right in your face. Is anger a sin or is it a God-given emotion? Tell you what, I got the answer for that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Now, that's if you believe the word, then you got to look at this thing. All right, so let's find out about anger. Then God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man in our image, according to our likeness, not physically, but as a spiritual personality and more moral likeness. So God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So guess what? God gets angry. We were made like him. God gets angry. Okay? So when you say you don't have certain issues, are you saying you're not like God? Who created you then? Right, check this out. Y'all ready? Shell, you think they ready to hear?
Let's see.
Are you ready? Okay. All right. I want y'all to write this down. I want you to write it down, okay? Anger is mentioned 455 times in the Old Testament. That's not the New Testament. That's just the Old. Anger is mentioned 455 times in the Old Testament. I'm going further. Are you ready for this? 375 of those times is referred to God's anger. Whoa. I hear the number?
Wow.
375 of the 55 times, 375 is God's anger. That's his Old Testament. The second, now y'all got to know this thing right here. This, it just blessed me. The second most frequently used emotion in the Bible is anger. The second most frequently used. So you want to know what's close to that? second only to the emotion of love. So love is used more times in the Bible than anger, but anger is second to love. So what does this tell us? There's a close relationship between love and anger. It was this song said, it might be before your time, not sure. But those out there, y'all text and let me know, put me a thumbs up if you heard it. Well, if you know what I'm talking about. Who was it that sung this song? It's a thin line between love and hate. You heard it yet?
I remember that one.
Okay, so y'all give a thumbs up if you heard it or was a part of it, meaning dance at the club and all that kind of stuff, okay? But I know you changed it. I know you're different. Fair enough? But man, that's a lot of time. So why can anger be such a problem? It is a misunderstood emotion because it's usually only viewed negatively. When people talk about anger, they talk about it in a negative sense. But let anger, let a child be caught under a car. And most of the time when you hear this reported, it's from a mother lifting that car up to allow that her child or their child to get out. Anger was a process of that, where that mother said, my child will not die today. And she will lift that car up. Anger is manifested when someone runs by somebody and try to grab their purse. And that person grabs them back and knocks them to the ground just by the force of them grabbing it. You're not taking what I spent all my time to receive. You saw Jesus walk into the temple and start, he used ropes to make belts to beat the people, to tell them they need to get out, turn over the table. Anytime you turn over somebody's money, you better know that you have a force of anger that's strong enough to protect yourself.
Apparently there were two people who made that song.
Okay.
Wayne came up with the Persuaders,
Thinks? Okay, all right.
And Elizabeth says Ellie Goulding, so I think that's a remake.
Okay, all right. Okay, thank you guys, thank you. So let me tell you about inappropriate anger. It has power to damage and destroy. Three components, guys. Anytime you use anger inappropriately, it's either going to be words, going to be actions, something that you said, something that you did, or how you behaved. How many out there, just send it to Shell. We'll talk about it together, all of us. How many need to forgive somebody right now? Something that they said, using words, some action that they took, some behavior that they entered into. You got to let Shell know. She's going to let me know. We got the tag team thing going on. Now, that's inappropriate anger. Let's talk about appropriate anger. The same emotion that could create great levels of intimacy. Anger can create great levels of intimacy. But that anger has to be processed. Because sometimes when you're angry, you say how you really feel. You don't sugarcoat stuff. You say how you really feel. And one of the ways to help you is to always lower your voice when you're talking about a situation that is so intense. Check this out. Y'all ready for this? Unhealthy expression of anger operates in 75 to 80% of marriages and relationships. So you can have a relationship with your child. If it's said inappropriately, just know that the first place that you need to look at is anger. 75 to 80% of all marriages and relationships, when anger is manifested and it's inappropriate, it's going to produce something on the inside. What do you guys say?
Mary says that she does.
Mary says that she does what?
She does need to forgive somebody.
Okay, all right.
And Elizabeth says, can this include forgiving yourself or is it only other people?
Always. Forgiveness always go to either others or yourself. But by asking that question, I just thank you that you are at a place where you can recognize when you need to forgive yourself. So y'all ready to do it? They ready to do it, chat?
I think so.
Y'all ready? So even the special people that don't have to forgive themselves or don't need forgiveness in their life, you just listen or be praying for somebody else that chose to forgive themselves. Fair enough? All right, so it's 720, 20 shekel.
Oh.
Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and pray. You guys repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I make a decision. That I need to forgive myself. And then you tell them for what? Or I need to forgive someone else for what they did. And you tell them about that someone else and what they did. So Father, I forfeit my right.
To seek revenge.
Or to hold on.
To any anger.
Bitterness.
Or resentment.
I forfeit my right. To be angry.
Anymore.
I'm taking that anger out of my heart. And I'm handing it to you. Because you told me. To cast my cares on you. Because you care for me. I thank you for healing. My damaged emotions. I desire to be changed. By your spirit. Into the person of God. You created me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. And so you're forgiven. Or the person that you chose to forgive, if you didn't forgive yourself, the person you chose to forgive is now forgiven. But you see how when I wrote that prayer, I wrote it in such a way, thank you for creating in me the man or the woman that you called me to be. So I'm not looking at them anymore. I'm doing forgiveness that will allow me to be free and become the person that God called you to be. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. All right. So in James chapter 1, verse 19 through 20, in the Amplified Bible, you know what it's going to say about being swift to hear. Y'all ready for this? This is in the Amplified. Understand this. And when I'm studying and getting ready to do a service, I pick out four Bibles that I like to look at the same time to see which one explains in depth. And I stick with the Amplified a lot because now I'll use the New King James. Because to me, it amplifies the Greek or the Hebrew word, whether you're in the Old Testament, it's the Hebrew, and if you're in New Testament, it's Greek. So let's see what it says in James chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. Understand this. What does that mean? You don't just read it. You seek understanding. Ask the Holy Spirit. He's the teacher. He's the guy. He'll take the things of God and show it to us. It says, understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. So let me read it first, because I just want to mellow, that's all. My beloved brothers and sisters, let everyone be quick to hear, be a careful, thoughtful listener, slow to speak, a speaker of careful, chosen words, and slow to anger, patient, reflective, forgiving, for the resentful, deep-seated anger of man, us, does not produce the righteousness of God. That standard of behavior, here it is right here, which he requires from us. So let me go back. Now, when I'm saying I'm meddling with myself too. So I'm not picking on other people. I'm just talking about what this means. Understand this. That means that you're not just supposed to read it. You're supposed to have understanding how it works, what it means, how it relates, how it changes. Understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. So guess who he's talking to? Believers, us, brother. I'm a brother. Michelle is a sister. Let everyone be quick to hear. It's a group. As believers, let us be quick to hear. Be a careful and a thoughtful listener. Guys, this is when you can really tell you're angry. When someone is sharing from their perspective, and you could not repeat back what they said. How come you couldn't repeat it? Because we were so busy preparing ourselves for when they finish, so we can jump back on them with our solution or resolution to the issue that they brought before us. So it said, be a thoughtful listener. That means, what would happen if we asked ourselves by us thinking, I wonder what this really is about. I wonder who else has done this to that person. Are they really telling me how they feel? Or are they talking to someone that hurt them before me. So that's what a thoughtful listener is. The thoughtful listener is asking questions about what they're feeling. So to speak, that means even after they finish, you don't pounce on them. Like, okay, I'm going to wait this through. I'm going to wait this for a little while. I'm listening. I'm paying attention. I'm processing the information. I'm going to be slow to speak because I don't have to defend myself. I can answer the question that was presented to me. Speaker carefully choosing words. And sometimes if you have the time to sit back, step back and just listen, because you're carefully listening, you'll realize, well, you know, maybe nothing needs to be said right now. Maybe I don't have to say anything. They expressed how they really felt. I listened. Some will choose not to say anything. That's my choice, to be silent and to be quiet. But this is the kicker. Can you do it? But to be at peace with my decision, to be quiet. Michelle just took a deep breath over there. You just don't realize how deep that breath. Remember, there's no such thing as an unexpressed emotion. It goes somewhere and it does something. I got to check, so I'm going to turn my head for a second, see whether she all right. You all right, Michelle?
I'm okay.
She says she all right, okay? Slow the anger. Patient, but check this word out. Reflective forgiveness. Reflective forgiveness. So that means that you are at the place where you're in this situation and you're processing the very fact, I need to forgive them, or I need to forgive myself. Why do I need to forgive myself? Because what they're sharing with me is true. I did do that. I can see how they will be hurt by it. What happens if you tell a person that? Wow, I really listened to what you said, and what it made me see was that I was wrong. Would you forgive me? I had one person at a company that complained about me, said some things about me. And when I found out about it, I went to him and I said, hey, look, you know, I understand that you're pretty upset with me. But would you forgive me? All I can say is the person was hot enough where he said, I don't want to do that forgiveness stuff. And I just said, well, you know, that's how I process information. When I offend someone, what I want to do is forgive them because I want them to have a clean slate. So needless to say, they weren't open to forgiveness. But I offered it, and then I forgave them. That's something to think about. But let me go on, because I got 2 minutes. All right, so James 1, 19 and 20. Slow to anger, patient, reflective, and forgiving. For the resentment, check this out. Deep-seated anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That standard of behavior which he requires from us. Guys, when we don't process that anger, then whatever we have planned for the other person is not producing the righteousness of God. And see, that's why when I talk about righteous indignation, I say that from a perspective of God is a God that deals with righteous indignation. Means he knows the reason why we did it, when we did it, how we did it, where we did it, and he knows everything there is to know about us. And he knows, because he's doing it from a righteous perspective. Amen?
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, join Pastor Paul for Sunday service at 10 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries. The website is www.chosenrva.com or call at 866-333-9505.